From the Star Reynolds Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All right, kiddos, headlines on Softy and Dick without Dick. Cam Cleland in for Dick Fain. Brought to you, of course, by our friends at Buddy's Curtis and Glass. It's always 420 at Buddy's.
More than anything, I want better execution. Are we clear on that? I want better execution.
John Heyman reporting that Tommy John surgery has been suggested for Mariners starting pitcher James Paxton. He left last night's game after throwing only 24 pitches in the loss yesterday to Chicago. If James Paxton does go down that road, he would be out for the rest of the 2021 season. Masters update from Augusta. Justin Rose, your leader after round number one, 7 under par with an opening round 65. 2 strokes off the round one record 63 at the Masters. Dustin Johnson, by the way, your champion, your reigning champion from last year, a plus 274, tied for 35th. And some crazy sad news in the NFL. How about this? Former Seahawk defensive back Philip Adams, who was with the team in 2011, played for the Niners, the Pats, the Raiders. He fatally shot 5 people, including a doctor, his wife, and their 2 grandchildren, before turning the gun on himself. All of this happened in Rock Hill, South Carolina. NCAA basketball, UCLA makes the Final Four. They push the Zags to double overtime. So what happens? Of course, naturally, head coach Mick Cronin has a brand new deal. 2-year extension through 2027. Time to talk to Mike Holmgren right now.
Hey, don't do that to me! Don't give me that hand! Don't do that to me!
Your home for the 12th man presents Mike Holmgren.
Say, on sprint auction, if they rush that guy that wide, loaded doesn't get it done. Go to something else.
Brought to you by Toyota of Kirkland. Check out their entire vehicle inventory at toyotaofkirkland.com or stop by their showroom and buy Redbox. Redbox has the newest movies fresh from the theater for under $2 a night. Go to the box or stream on demand.
This is what I had my little peewee guy, Pop Warner, when I started coaching. They can do it better than you guys. And I paid them in popsicles, not millions of dollars.
Now, Mike Holmgren on Seattle's Sports Radio 950.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah, okay. You can't start it that way.
No, you can't, okay?
Yeah.
All right, because everyone's riding on your shoulders now.
KJR.
There's a rumor going around, Cam, that Mike Holmgren doesn't like the open because he thinks it makes him sound angry. And I just going to say this. I don't blame Mike for being angry. If I had to come on this radio station as much as you do, I'd be angry as well. So I totally get it. Hey, Mike, Dick is on vacation, so we brought Cam Cleland back again.
For no reason, Coach. I don't know why they
did
it.
No, great. Hey, Cam, how you doing?
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah, I tell you what, you're a bright star in this session now today. So
yeah, the bar is low, by the way. The bar
I feel
is
pressure
very,
now.
The
That's
bar
what it
is.
Low.
Yeah, you know what the pressure is? Just don't drool on yourself, and you'll be fine. Unlike me and Mike. Well, the coach is back with us. He'll be with us through the next 5 weeks or so, getting ready for the draft, through the draft, the whole thing. But man, lots to talk about, Mike. First of all, the Seahawks, and why don't we just start at the top, where in the last couple of days, Quentin Dunbar has taken off for the Lions, and Jaron Reed left and went to Kansas City. What do you just kind of make of the progress that the Seahawks have made in the last couple of months? Kind of your view from your perch on the east side there on what this roster looks like today versus what it looked like maybe a month and a half ago.
Well, you know, it's startling at times. You know, I mean, expect the unexpected, I think, from John Schneider and Pete at times. But I think getting the pass rusher in full, that was a big deal. I'm reading a little bit about the new defensive lineman that they got. I think they've made some really good moves in the defensive line, but we'll see. You know, because they some of these guys haven't played a lot, but they're looking in there. They'll be well coached and that sort of thing. But I think in the secondary, Dave, I'm still concerned. I mean, they're losing corners, and they're talking about certain corners being potential starters in there. And it seems to me it is like a deja vu all over again. It seems like we had those kind of conversations last year in the off season. So I still think they have some work to do there.
Coach, certainly with your experience, you understood that. Was there like a number? Here's an, I don't know if it's a big math question, but was there a a percentage number that you always guessed and prepared for of guys that were coming back? You know, like to see Tampa to have all those starters back, and you ask the Seahawks, okay, some guys are gone, and then you have free agency changes. It was at 70%. You're like, all right, we got 22 starters. We're hoping to get 13 on 14 on average back every year. Looking at the Seahawks roster, knowing there's going to be some changes, was there always a target number you were looking for?
You know, Cam, I don't think so. At least I didn't look for it. Yeah. I said I would go in, and keep in mind that when I started, there wasn't free agency, and then all of a sudden you have free agency, so things change there dramatically. But when I was a head coach and there was free agency, I would go in to whomever was handling the finances. Mike Reinfeld in Seattle, Ron Wolf, you know, and Mike Reinfeld actually in Green Bay. And I would say, these are the guys, this is the team I want. These are the guys I want. And they'd say, well, you can't have all those guys. Or, you know, it's not right. going to work. I said, well, let's put this on the board and let's tell me the ones I can't have or what we have to do. And we work it out that way. Then I'd have a pretty good idea of, there weren't a lot of surprises on who was going to stay and who'd we lose. You know, we kind of made those decisions. We wanted to keep a player. We kept him.
Yeah.
I mean, we were going to pay him, and we kept him. And so I think most teams are like that. I think the Seahawks are like that. They lose a player. It's because they had made a decision there. Okay, we could lose this guy because we're only going to offer this much money or whatever it is. Or, you know, we didn't think he was the player we thought he was, and so let him go out there. I think that most teams do it that way, I think.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, Mike Holmgren's with us, and I noticed this on Twitter the other day. You probably saw it, too, because I know you're a big Twitter guy, big social media guy.
Yeah.
Your wife is always bugging you to get off Instagram and TikTok and Snapchat, all that stuff. So 28 years ago Tuesday, any idea what happened 28 years ago on Tuesday?
28 years ago on Tuesday, gee, I have no idea.
You guys
Please
signed.
Tell me.
You guys signed Reggie White in Green Bay 28 years ago.
Oh, really? No kidding.
April 6th of 1993. And I saw that come across, and there was a clip of a press conference, and you were talking at the press conference. I think you may have been like 17 years old, by the way, at the press conference.
I know.
I'm watching this thing, and I'm just curious to know, as you look back on that signing, I'm not going to compare the Carlos Dunlap signing, obviously, to Reggie White. Reggie White's maybe the most, you know, feared defender in the history of the NFL, along with Lawrence Taylor, but how do those deals get done? How did that particular deal get done? And don't tell me it was a group effort. Don't say that to me. Somebody closed the deal. Who closed the deal on the Reggie White signing?
Well, I think I'm going to take some credit for that. I mean, I will say this. Ron Wolf came to me and said, we're going to go after Reggie White. It was the beginning of free agency. And he had already taken a couple of trips. And you know, people are giving him keys to the city and fur coats and all sorts of stuff. I made the statement to Ron. I said, what are we going to offer him, a block of cheese? What are we going to do? You know? And he goes, well, we're just going to, bless his heart, he said, we're going to try this. So Ray Rhodes and I went down to his house and we surprised him, and he had us for lunch, and we did it. I think we made a good first impression. And then Reggie's a very religious guy, so I got back, and you know the story. I phoned him up on his voicemail. I said, Reggie, this is God. I want you to go to Green Bay. And he had a great sense of humor, too, and I mean, he knew where I was coming from in my own belief system. So, yeah, and we got him, and against all odds, really. And he made, Dave, you know, he made all the difference. We had now Favre on offense, Reggie on defense, and then we could put everything else together.
Just FYI, that was my very first hit in the NFL. It was in preseason in 1998. We played in Green Bay. We were the same. We opened up preseason, and there when I was that first guy, I line up, we run 15 blunt on that side, and I went, that's Reggie White.
Wow, and who won that battle?
Who do you think?
You did.
It was a cinder block I hit. It was my gosh.
No, I tell the stories all the time, Cam, and you've probably heard this too. Reggie was really a nice man.
Great man.
He'd play the game in the preseason. He'd kind of play, and then I'd kind of get after him a little bit before I'd try and fire him up. The one thing, and guys never understood this, if you were playing against him and you started to trash talk him or swear at him. He'd say, don't do that. And the guy go, then look out.
Bad news.
He would really change, and it was really something to see.
Yeah. He hit me. I hit him so hard. He goes, nice job, Rook. And I'm like, all right, I guess I know where I'm at. Tell me this, Coach. 17 games coming into the league, potentially 18. The pandemic changed with veterans, you know, wanting to spend more time on the outside. 17 games for guys and moving potentially to 18. Good or bad? And you see this league going up. I know as consumers, we want more games. But as a coach, extra preparation, more responsibility, more injuries. The roster's not changing. It's still 46 guys on game day. How does that change for you as a coach?
Yeah, but Ken, here's my old fears, my age coming out. I don't like that type of thing happening in the league. One, honestly, in the preseason, I liked all those games and how we did it to evaluate people and give guys, young guys, a chance to make your football team. You know, now you're going to have to, because, you know, you're in training camp and all that, but then when they get to play in the game, you can see some other things, and some guys really jump out once you play games. And so you're going to be cut short there. Then when you get started in for real, then it's different. And listen, the bodies, and you know this, the bodies of guys who have played in the league a long time, through the whole schedule, they get worn down, and with the Thursday night games and all this other stuff, I just think it's going to be different, and you will really have to manage their time, and I don't know how that's going to affect the last few games of the year. I really don't.
Yeah, well, speaking of managing things, does Pete Carroll have some managing egos to do inside that locker room when players come back after the draft? We'll talk about that. Mike Holmgren with us, hanging out for one more segment. Mike Florio joining us at 5 p.m. tonight, as well as Carlos Dunlap, by the way, at 5:20. And a special Ask Cam edition. I signed you up for this. You're locked in. Of testimonials at 445, 49451.
You going to tell me that?
I just told you. Right, I just told you on the air live. Ask Cam anything. Dogs, Hawks, whatever. His golf game, my golf game, your golf game, whatever. 49451. Get him in the Coors Light Seltzer text line for testimonials at 445. More with Mike Holmgren next. All in one app.
Now back to Mike Holmgren, brought to you by Toyota of Kirkland and by Redbox on your home for the 12th man in the NFL. Seattle Sports Radio 950. KJR.
Mike Holmgren with us on the radio show. Special Ask Cam Cleland edition of testimonials coming up 49451. Anything goes. Anything goes for Cam. Credit card number.
Careful.
Home address. Whatever. Blood type.
Oh, universal donor.
All that stuff with Cam at 445. Mike Florio joining us at 5 p.m. on the program. Mike Holmgren's back with us. And Mike, I want to throw you a bit of a curveball. Okay? I think you've gotten way too comfortable with your little gig here as a radio guy. I think you've got
okay.
Everyone needs to be pressed to be better, right? We're always growing.
I agree.
Okay. So, like, I asked you all the time, Mike, how do you want to be a better coach? And you would say things like, well, I'd like to do press conferences without you. That would make me a better coach. So, let me ask you this. If you are with the Texans organization, how do you handle this Deshaun Watson situation now? I mean, you got the deal with him not wanting to be there. And then on top of that, you've read about all these different complaints he's getting from all these different massage therapists across the country. Yep. How do you handle this if you're with the Texans?
Boy, that's a tough one. I think that, first of all, I'd want to know from him face-to-face what's going on. That's the very first thing that would happen.
Right.
And then depending on what came out of that thing, then if I think he's being mistreated, I would back him to the hilt. If not, then we probably have to make a change, and you know, things have to change. I've said this, you and I talked about the thing with Russell Wilson too. It's beyond me, and I'd like to hear Cam's take on this too. It's beyond me how you have a great quarterback on your roster, somebody can take you to the Super Bowl, and somehow the relationship gets so goofed up that he wants to leave. I can't wrap my hands around that one.
Coach, I am spot on with you. I don't get it. I can't even fathom the idea of Russ wanting to go somewhere, or what it had, or where it's going to. But the one question I wanted to ask you as a coach is, Russ comes out in a, and look, social media, and then he has his interviews, and he mentions things about the offensive line. Is that, do you have to be the intermediary now where you're sitting him down and we got to get these guys right? Without your offensive line, I've said that before, those are the best guys on the team. The guys I wanted to hang, they're together. Russ says that. What's your next step as the coach trying to bridge that gap, make them back together?
Well, I told Dave this too. I bring Russ in, first of all, just to make sure I know what's going on and the reasons for some of this stuff. And if, in fact, that was said, you know, that has to be cleaned up. I always had a players committee, and they were my most solid guys. Good football players, but they didn't have to be the all greatest football players. But they knew football, they knew the team, they knew the locker room. And so that's where I'd go right away. I'd go to my players committee and say, this is the situation. How are we all going to handle this? And then work from there. And I think because... Well, like I said, I'm at a little bit of a loss for words. I apologize because I don't get it.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully, 100%. Hopefully it's been cleared up and it won't be an issue. Carlos Dunlap is going to be on with us at 5:20, and he said in his press conference, Mike, yesterday that he wasn't going to come back unless he had assurances from Russell he was going to be here. So we'll ask Carlos if he thinks that's long-term, by the way.
Yeah, but you know, Dave, we talked about it a little bit, and Cam alluded to it. You know, you have your offensive linemen. Those guys protect you. They'll go into battle for you. I remember a long, long, long time ago, and I felt the same way with Brett Favre and the quarterbacks we had in Green Bay. Joe Montana was the same way. His linemen, they would do anything for that guy. You know, Joe Namath, when I was a rookie quarterback with the Jets, they'd do anything for him and help him. And so that type of relationship with your lineman, that's essential.
Last time I was on, I asked you the question about asking quarterbacks for offensive ideas, even during the game. And if you're looking at this now moving forward with Russ, does he have to be a part of the offense even more schematically? And would that make him happy? But it sounded like it was personnel decisions, but it also sounded like it was schematics.
Yeah, I think if it is, absolutely, they have input on that. Absolutely. But there is a bright line between, I coach, you play, okay, but do I value your opinion? Absolutely. And then to get the most out of the player, I think that's an important thing, of important communication. But at the same time, I can remember games. You know, Favre would come over the sideline to me, and I go, okay, we got these three plays or four plays. Which one do you like? Yeah, you can just call it. I don't care. You're the boss. You call the plays. I'll run them, you know?
Love it.
And so in crucial situations, a lot of times they want me to be the decision maker.
Right. Yeah.
Now, you just play, you know, but in the meeting like that, if you have a meeting and you're going, listen, could we do more of this? Could we lie, you know, absolutely you listen to that and then respond one way or the other.
Right.
But more often than not, you're going to insert some of those things in the game plan, and then you have a better player.
Can we take that approach to the radio show from now on when you come on? I'm just going to say to you, Mike, just go.
Yeah.
Just do whatever you want. I'm not going to ask anything. I'm not going to say anything. You just go on the air and just talk. Have at it.
No, you know what, though? I really know my place down there. I really know my place. And when you alluded to my lead-in, that thing they talk about when I come on the show.
Yeah, the open, right.
I think it's kind of clever, but I don't want people to think I yell all the time, and I'm to everybody.
Well, that's too late.
The popsicles.
Hey, by the way, what's
popsicles the last time I was down there?
What is that, Kathy, in the background? What is she doing back there? What's happening at your house?
She's here. We're going to take the dog out for a walk. You know what she mouthed to me? You yell at me all the time. That's what she just said.
See? I knew it. Mike Holmgren.
She's smiling.
Mike Holmgren is with us.
She says hello to you.
Hi, Kathy. Tell her we miss her. Mike Holmgren's with us. And you were down in San Francisco for a long time. What do you make of the Niners moving up to number 3? And the reason why I ask is this. So the Jaguars are clearly taking Trevor Lawrence. I mean, he's off the board, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Then you've got Zach Wilson. You got Justin Fields. You got Mac Jones. You got the kid from South Dakota. Do you think the Niners feel, hey, we are comfortable with any of the remaining quarterbacks, no matter who the Jets take at number two? Or do you think the Niners feel like they know who the Jets are going to take at number two?
Well, if you can't, if the math doesn't work out, and you could get aced out if you think, you know, if you try and figure out who's going to go one and two, and then all of a sudden someone hops up in there and takes the player you want, they have to be pretty comfortable with somebody at three.
Yeah.
So, and you know, Kyle, you get Shanahan, and he's a quarterback guy. He's an offensive guy, and he feels the same way I felt. I'm sure if you get give me a talented young guy and like a Darnold.
Yeah,
like I've said this before, it's my responsibility to make him the best player he can be, and I'm going to do that. I am going to do that, and that's how I always believed. And so he feels the same way, and I think they're going to take somebody, and that's the guy.
Was that the right move, you think, to move up to number three to grab a quarterback, or do you feel that they could have been just fine with Jimmy Garoppolo?
No, I think, well, what it tells me is that while they could be okay with Jimmy Garoppolo, that they didn't think he was a long-term answer. That's what that tells me. And I could be way off base there, but and I like Jimmy, right. You know. But
I was going to say, what do you think? What do you think about Jimmy Garoppolo?
Well, I thought, you know, he had some deficiencies in his throwing, you know, and he gets injured, and but he's good. I mean, he's good. But if you see someone coming out in the draft that's a special talent, and he's a young guy, and he can be with you a long time, because I think Shanahan's in pretty good shape down there, then obviously I think they made the decision. We're going to go that way.
Coach, with these kind of contracts, speaking of quarterbacks and seeing them, with the kind of contracts that are going 38, 40, $500 million for Patrick Mahomes, and watching coaches and seeing that, is that discrepant? When you see that kind of money being paid to quarterbacks, you ever look at it and go, man, at some point in time, they're going to pick quarterbacks over coaches any day and all day. Does that start to creep in if you're looking at these coaches now moving forward?
I think it creeps in a little bit. I've said that many times. It just blows me away. Heck, my the man who represents me now has 6-7 head coaches in the league, and Andy Reid's one of them, Gruden's one of them, you know, McDermott, he's got all these guys. And he once showed me, he goes, hey, let me show you what I'm making, get him for him right now. And he shows me the list. I said, thanks a lot. You know? And you lost my phone number. Thanks a lot.
I think you were born about 30 years too early, by the way. Are you kidding me? If you had, there's no way you're talking to us if you had one of those contracts. There's no way you would have retired if you had one of those contracts. But Mike Holmgren's with us. And, Mike, we mentioned the secondary earlier today. Dunbar to the Lions. Obviously, Shaquille Griffin is gone to the Jaguars. So you're talking about DJ Reed, who you picked up on waivers last August from San Francisco. Akella Witherspoon, who you just acquired from San Francisco in a trade a month ago. And then Trey Flowers, who, you know, was benched last year. I mean, those are your three main cornerbacks. How concerned are you about the cornerback position right now?
That would be, I think, on the roster right now, my number one concern. I honestly think that, because that became an issue last year, although Reed came in and played, you know, they had some guys come in and play, but Flowers is who he is, I think. And you know, they haven't, and Griffin, who I liked, he's gone. So they have some things to do in the secondary, I believe. But if they think they've developed something in the defensive line where they can pressure a lot better than they pressured last year, then that always helps your secondary. So it's a two-way street there.
Yeah, I 100% agree with the secondary. Tell me this, with the loss of the combine this year, how much stock did you put in the combine? And with all these pro days and these guys getting ready, having to travel everywhere and getting your scouting department around, it more pressure on the staff and coaches to be able to find these guys and get ready for the draft?
I think it's more challenging, yeah. The combine, for me, was just okay. You get a chance to see him throw. A lot of the good guys didn't throw.
Yeah.
Or didn't, you know, but you got to see receivers and you got to see running backs. All the measurables, the short shuttle, and all that kind of stuff. I let somebody tell me about that. Let me see you play football.
So, right.
And then they change the thing, so you have those interviews going from 6 o'clock until 11 o'clock at night. So
right.
I used to like it. The combine, you go out to dinner and have a couple of lemonades with your buddies, you know, and but you can't do that anymore. So the combine was okay, but more importantly was the pro day and bringing him in. Mm-hmm. To your point, you're bringing him in.
Yeah.
Sitting him across from me. Let me talk to him. I can see the stuff on film. Now I want to get a little feel for the personality and the guy I'm going to be coaching. So it's a challenge. This year will be more challenging than ever before, I think.
Well, you mentioned the pro days, and I always get kind of a kick out of pro days, and I realize that there's some pressure on the kid because there's a ton of scouts and people watching, and you have to perform, but there's nobody rushing you. The elements are perfect. You're 9 times out of 10 throwing indoors at a practice facility against air wearing shorts. How much stock did you put in pro days?
Not a lot. I think it does show somebody's up close and personal, his ability to pass the ball and pass it, his velocity and things like that. I think his environment, how he handled the pressure of a bunch of guys watching him.
Yeah.
You know, I reflect on the time I ran Favre's pro day at Southern Miss, and I ran his drills, and all the guys are the 15 to 16 other teams are looking at him. And then I got a chance to talk to him after it, sit him down. I said, what are you going to do the rest of the day? I'm going to go fishing, drink a few beers. You know, I never had a player tell me that kind of thing right after a workout before. So actually, it was one of the things that was kind of endearing to me.
I love it. I love it. Mike, great stuff. Appreciate this. Enjoy the weekend, and we will talk next week.
Thank you, Coach. Really appreciate it.
All right, guys. Nice to hear from you, Cam.
You bet. Mike Holmgren with us on the radio show, a special Ask Cam edition. 49451 of testimonials, the Coors Seltzer text line, Dogs, Hawks, his golf game, your golf game, maybe some tips, whatever. Stories, anything, anecdotes, anything you want to know from the ex-Husky tight end. He's here. Which teammate did he love the most? Which teammate did he hate the most? Who knows?
Ooh,
maybe somebody will text that in.
That's a good one.
49451 on the Coors Seltzer text line, testimonials, and then Mike Florio will join us coming up, by the way.
Softy is an idiot.
At 5 o'clock on 950 KG.
Coming to you live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR. This is Textimonials.
LOL, semicolon, parentheses.
Take it away, Dave Softy Mahler and Dick Fane.
All right, big 5 o'clock hour tonight. Mike Florio, Carlos Dunlap.
You don't say.
Coming up on the program, lots of stuff to get to, a Masters update in a matter of seconds, but a special Ask Cam Cleland edition of Textimonials. Cam in for Dick Fane today and tomorrow. 49451, the Coors Seltzer text line. You sure you're ready for this?
I am. I was prepared.
Anything goes.
I'm not nothing to hide.
Okay, fine. Here we go. 49451. Jackson, what do you got?
Cam, how old do you feel when your quarterback at Washington was Damon Hart and now his son is competing for the Washington starting quarterback job?
Wow. Wow. Well, come on. I'm only 45. I'm old.
That's the new 70, by the way.
Yeah, it is. So it doesn't feel... No, I don't feel too... Dame and I were actually his senior year. We were roommates. He used to slip me a nice beverage for a nightcap. Say, hey, Cam, try this beverage. It would make you feel better. I was trying to get in with my quarterback, so he'd throw me a ball every now and then, you know, because I was just a redshirt sophomore at the time.
So your quarterback would try and drug you to get you to sleep.
Well, guys are, you know, you're young. You're having a few beers before you go to bed. Like, what's wrong with that?
Who was the backup tight end when you were there behind you?
At that time?
Yeah.
No, the starter was Ernie Conwell. Okay. And then I was with him. And
who
then
was the backup behind you?
Jeremy Brigham.
Jeremy Brigham. So maybe Damon liked Jeremy Brigham and wanted you out
was
of the way.
Negotiating or something.
Trying
I'm going to test this
Cleveland
kid out.
I love it.
See what he's like.
All right, what's next?
Cam, tell us how you really feel about Richie Incognito.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so explain.
Richie Incognito.
Explain for those that don't know why this person's asking about that.
Maybe because they're talking about the hazing experience that I had back in my rookie year, and then also that Richie Incognito may have had quite a hazing experience of himself as a Miami Dolphin, and he's not a good guy, I'll tell you that much. I'll tell you that much at all. He wasn't. I was with him his rookie year in 2005 with the Rams. He was not well liked in the locker room. He's a rough guy. I mean, his whole persona was spot on. In fact, Richie Incognito was so good that he spent all his signing bonus on earrings and a BMW 760, which I heard is an expensive car, but he wanted to dial it up a little bit. He put 23 televisions in it. Dave, he put one in the gas cap.
He did not. No, he did not.
There's your hot story for the day.
What's next?
Hey, Cam, which teammate in the NFL or college did you like the most, and which one did you think was a total douche?
Well, I think I just gave away my worst one.
Richie's the worst.
He might have been playing against Bill Romanowski. He wasn't my teammate, but boy, that guy was a...
Oh, he's lunatic.
Loony.
Crazy.
Crazy.
French fry short of a Happy Meal.
Yeah, but he was good, so I did that. The greatest guy I ever played, not just player, the greatest guy I ever played with, and I still think he's my favorite teammate of all time. His name is Billy Joe Tolliver.
Oh! You got us there.
I got you there for a second, didn't I? Can I tell you this? I caught passes from two Billy Joes in the same season.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
That is, you know what? There's not
two Billy Joe professional quarterbacks.
Yeah.
That is trivia that nobody else can say.
I think there's a club, a very exclusive club.
Yeah.
And you're the only member.
I think I'm only the only member. Billy Joe Tolliver was an unbelievable guy. He was my favorite. He put me under his wing. He was another redhead. He just country guy. Loved everything about him. He was a great leader. And, I played with Tom Brady, but Billy Joe was better.
I love it. All right, we'll get a break. Mike Florio, by the way, ProFootballTalk.com, courtesy of SimplySeattle.com, will join the radio show.
He is a genuine butthole.
Coming up next, right now, live to Augusta National for a Masters update, courtesy of Westwood.